Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. We are back live right here on Blog Talk Radio. This is the Absolute Truth Show. I am your host, or the most, the King of Kings himself. Yours truly, the guys that you really do love. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, surprisingly, he came back over from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hopefully, he did not catch the pandemic, but he is out there rallying out in the Black Session in Oklahoma with the other 6,000 people chanting Trump, 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 Trump. And for his birthday today, he wants 4 more years of Trump, 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 Trump. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, I give you the one and only, the birthday boy who turned 59, but that's his favorite number, Sean Black.
I'm old now, yeah. 45, can't complain. Sean Black back in the building once again. Coming straight from Black Lives Matter Way. How's everybody doing?
Oh, Black Lives Matter. I will piss people off about that later. Well, ladies and gentlemen, You know the number to call. 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. Sean Black, on your birthday. You know, I got to talk about your boy, your president, number 45.
Go figure. A great week. President 45 on my 45th birthday. Yes. You can't make this up.
That's right. That's why I started off this way, you know.
I figured. You know,
everybody was talking about the big rally Saturday, how, you know, it was sold out. Many people reserved tickets. You know, the pandemic was going on in Oklahoma. The rise of people who catch the coronavirus, people going to wear masks, or people not going to wear masks, what Trump going to say. But before we get into what Trump said, which probably ramp people up, were you surprised by the turnout of the people in the rally? The arena is supposed to hold 19,000, I believe.
20, I think it was a little over 20,000. Yeah.
20,000. But 6,200 showed up.
Yes.
Now, were you surprised by that number? Or you expected more or less? Or good luck to the people that attended there. Hopefully they're not catching the corona.
To be honest with you, there's a difference for me between what I expected and what I am surprised at. I expected a lower than full turnout, but I didn't expect 6,200. What I expected were going to be in a 20,000 seat arena. I personally thought that they were going to get like maybe 15,000, somewhere where it's like 80%, 85%. But he was also expecting to have an overspill of people outside the arena in Tulsa, where they actually erected a stage for Mike Pence to address the people that were going to be out there as well, and it didn't happen. Only 6,200 people showed up in a stadium that holds 20,000 people, and the Trump administration, as far as this whole entire event, this was supposed to jumpstart his campaign going forward. He made a big stink out of this. First, we all knew that this rally was going to happen almost 2 weeks ago, and it was initially supposed to be set on Juneteenth, which is June the 19th, for those that already should know about it by now, but this is one of those important days that is looked at for African Americans as a holiday, which is the end, the official end for African Americans of slavery in 1865. There was a sore spot of that, one, being on that date, and two, it being in Tulsa, where I've brought up and we've talked about before, one of the biggest race decimations in the history of this country, where Black Wall Street and lots of African-American businesses were burned to the ground based on just the evil in this world at that time. So coming forward with this whole entire deal, it was a PR fiasco where all of the things that you would think about for a rally of this nature would happen. So we go in, short amount of time, we got what we got, which was the equivalent to Trump's inauguration, where you remember he said we had the biggest inauguration in the history of inaugurations, and that wasn't the case. So it's comparable to that. And I think after that disaster, we can only imagine what other people were thinking about that going forward.
Okay, but it's still 6,000 people, still a lot of people that's turned up. And even sort of such of all the black people in the corner dancing and singing, wearing blue suits and red ties like Donald Trump. Don't you feel happy, encouraged, excited for the event?
This was, for all intents and purposes, an unmitigated disaster for the president. And the reason why is because he went on this huge wave of notoriety knowing that his name and his base were going to carry him because of his popularity. So he fought, build a building, would be so many things going forward. That did not happen at all. So then you go forward now and you look at the situation of having the actual rally. And he went on so many different tangents. There was no real theme. It was more or less 2 hours of the president ranting and raving on different things, saying his normal racist
stuff. That's the problem.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the problem, because the rally should be talking about what are your plans for re-election for 2021, give or take. You know, what you have achieved so far.
Yes.
But he did not talk any of that, really, did he?
No. He basically went on a rant on Joe Biden. He went on a tangent of the coronavirus. Not only did he basically...
He called it
in the most vile... One of the most vile, racist things you can say, because we all know right now, we know that this coronavirus, the ground zero for it is in Wuhan, China, as far as where the virus has originated from. But as has already been spoken of, different parts of the country did not all get it from China. The East Coast in New York, they got that part of the coronavirus infection from Europe, because a lot of people that came from China went to Europe and then from Europe came to the United States, whereas Seattle, Portland, Oregon, and a lot of the West Coast, they got their infection rates from people that came from China. This is something that the president doesn't talk about. He makes this blanket statement all the time as the dog whistle to blame the Chinese for this whole thing. And it continues to back up in his face. The new press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany, she continues to double down and defend every single little thing that he says and parrots that.
Well, that's her job.
Her job. But at the same time, you know what? She's making herself and she's also making the administration look very idiotic, because now the responses that she says in parroting what the president says, now her own party does not even like what's going on. Fox News, who puts them on the pedestal, doesn't even like what has been coming out of the White House.
Well, let me give it to Mika now. Mika, what are your pranks for your speech on Saturday?
First of all, I have to say this. Every time I hear him, I want to personally be drawn, quartered, hung, and disemboweled.
You do that for free.
I would like to do this to myself every time, because this man does nothing but spew the most idiotic things known to man and the most racist things I've heard since the Nixon administration. LBJ wasn't this bad. Like, I'm at the point where I'm ready to dig up just about everybody who was a racist, who somehow managed to be less racist than him. And that's saying a lot.
They were undercover racists.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And this whole China flu thing, Kung flu, as he likes to call it, that alone is enough, you know. No other president in the history, not during our lifetime, nor our parents, or even our grandparents' lifetime, would have been so blatant and spewed such hatred. Like, seriously, you can't spew hatred to this magnitude and then turn around and say, well, I've done this for this group of people. You've done nothing but perpetuate a whole lot of crap. Your biggest support base is a bunch of neo-Nazis. I'm sorry, and I have to say this. Although, you know, blacks, Latinos, Native Americans, we've gotten the short end of the stick from this country.
Mm-hmm.
Not for nothing, there has not been anyone sitting in the Oval Office at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue that has been this screwed up. There hasn't been. I'm sorry.
I believe it, but a lot of people don't see it that way.
You also have to remember, his base doesn't have anything beyond a third grade education. Or, you know, we go back to that whole daddy, uncle, mama, cousin thing. Because there is no way in the freak that someone that has actually studied history of this country is that ignorant. There's a book written by Howard Zinn that I actually have here, amongst the many other books that I have. For the record, my library has grown in the past 5 years that I didn't even think was possible. I have a book here called People's History. Yeah, my library is so retarded. Shakespeare's like, damn, I'm scared of you. I have a book here called A People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn. Now, Howard Zinn passed away in 2009. This book was published. There's been a couple of republications of this book. The last one was in 2009. I encourage everyone and anyone that actually wants to get a deeper understanding to read this book along with the book 1492. 1492 isn't what you think, by the way. I just want to preface that.
That's when you were born. That's when you were born. You know that already.
First of all, with your bald head itself. Chill with your bald spot. Looking like Mel Brooks. Anyway.
Of course. Go ahead.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, people really need to educate themselves and understand what's going on. You can't sit there and vote in things like this. You can't sit there and have an educated opinion if you don't know what's going on. That's my take on it. That's my take.
Okay. Thank you, Brother People, stopping with a firework that you're doing outside right now to join on the show. But you continue with the fireworks after the show. But you can start the fireworks over here as well. Brother B.
What up? Greetings and salutations, everyone. All I'm going to say is there's a lot of nice people in a lot of places that love the Trumpster and that vote for Trump, and that they're nice people. Now, there may be some nasty people over on that side, but, you know, you'll just grab them in the pussy and punch them in the nose, but they're still nice people, too. But remember, there's just a lot of nice people and vote, you know, that's going to vote for him. And his speech, you know, he's not being insulting. He just likes to throw that around. There's a lot of nice people, stuff like that. Listen, one thing about Trump, do I think he's more racist than some of the average white people out here? No, I don't. I just think that he just has no filter. He's not very smart or well-versed and stuff, but, you know, he's in a position of power, which, of course, makes him the god of the white people, because non-educated, non-informational, ignorant, you know, people of his type of background are going to vote for him, and they support him because it shows that you don't have to read to make it, or you don't have to be smart to make it. He represents that half of the ones that still think that we should be in chains and we eat chicken and watermelon. He represents them, and, you know, they worship him.
Hi, K-Dog, anything like to add on to that?
Well, good evening, everybody. Good evening, good evening, good evening. What's up, people? Heaven,
how
you
doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. Hey, Tamika, what's up, girl? What's up, girl? How you doing? What's up,
chilling,
buddy?
Chilling.
Well, everybody.
K-Dog,
everybody,
get to the point, please, K-Dog.
I'm getting
K-Dog,
to the point. I'm getting to the point. Donald Trump is an idiot. I mean, this is poor excuse for leadership, and I've been saying this from the beginning. He's a poor leader. First up, in the middle of a pandemic, now he goes over to Oklahoma. Now all of us knows, I mean, some people know what went down in Tulsa, Oklahoma 99 years ago, that you're going to go over there and be so blatant racist, where he talked about the coronavirus, and he even – he's trying to back things up like, he didn't say it when he said to slow down on testing for the coronavirus. Then he went on to call the protesters thugs and anarchists.
Yeah.
All he's done is devise. I mean, we've had undercover racist presidents before, but this one takes the cake because he's flat out, blunt out racist. He comes out with his racist ideologies and ignorant ideologies, if you might add. And look at the people that are supporting him. And he claimed, there was a lot of people. There wasn't a lot of people there. In the midst of a pandemic, having people in without masks, having people in there with sitting next to each other, and you have these people who support him, they sitting out there, I support the president. I support everything. You have to really... Really, there's something called self-education, like Amika said, self-education. Read a book, you know, educate yourselves, because you know what? Is this who you want as a leader who's shown no leadership whatsoever? You have to wonder about that.
And I have to make the point that the RNC actually had people that were attending his meeting, because I can't even call it a convention at this point. His gathering, to sign a waiver stating that if they contracted the coronavirus, they would not sue his campaign nor the RNC.
Exactly.
Now, what's even more telling to that, and what's more disturbing to that was the fact that a lady had her newborn child, couldn't have been no more than a couple of weeks old, at this gathering.
Yeah.
Like,
I got a question for Hot Rod. Hot Rod.
Yes?
Do you really think that this dude is racist, or is he just a con man pandering to the racist? Because he knows, you know this country.
I believe he's racist to a certain degree, but he's using it to exploit it. But like
and
you
it
said
works
before,
for him.
Everybody
it works
else,
for his thing.
It works for him. You go think about it. How can a man who, quote unquote, grab woman by the vagina, say all these things and become leader of the free world? It works for him. That's what he's a leader right now. Is he the greatest leader in the world? Of course not. But people buy into this crap. While you have a woman, Hillary, all she got in trouble for was emails. And people hated her for that. Does that make sense?
Hillary had two things going against her. One, she was Hillary Clinton. And two, she was a woman.
Yeah.
Those were the two things that he had against her going in.
Well, hold on.
She had a few more things than that going in.
Hold on.
I got to give it to Lady T now. Lady T?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm just curious. while we're still talking about Trump. Did he not show you who he was when he put the MAGA hat on? Why are we still here?
Because we need a clown to laugh at?
I mean, really, it's like the definition of insanity, and we keep going round and round, and it's the same results with this guy.
Honestly,
what
I think
are we trying to analyze? We're being hopeful that he'll change, or you know what I mean?
There's no hope. There's no hope.
There is no hope in this.
Okay.
Honestly, I think we're at a consensus where we're trying to psychoanalyze him. I don't think we have any hope in him.
I'll save that for some real patience.
Okay. So
you can imagine exactly how who was going to make enough money to try to psychoanalyze this guy. The only thing we know we know he's conceited. We know he is very thin-skinned. We know he's a racist, a bigot, a xenophobe. We know all of that stuff. So
exactly.
I think what the main issue is that I don't think anybody is going to think that something is going to change between now and November, and he's going to all of a sudden become some sort of leader. He is who he is. He's shown you who he is. I think what a lot of people are looking at now is, how is this latest foot-in-mouth incident going to affect the elections going forward and his base? We know secretly or not as secretly, he's been trying to get the post office shut down, knowing that a lot of people aren't going to the polls, mostly in urban areas, quote-unquote urban areas, where a lot of African-American Latinos have a chance to vote and can't safely go to the polls. And knowing that mail-in voting, which has been going on since the early 1900s, is something that would hurt him, because if we've seen polls, we know his polls have been precipitously dropping.
Mail-in voters have been very successful. They've been very successful through all these years, which people don't realize that it has been. So that's a ticket for him to get the post office shut down by November, let's say, or it's something else up his sleeve with this. You guys think that this hurt him? I don't think so. This put us in a space where we wanted to think it hurts him. I don't think he's hurt at all.
Okay.
I see him rallying high from this within the
next
2 months.
You want to know what I think actually hurts him more than the rally? Is the image of him getting off of Air Force One, walking through the Rose Garden with his tie undone, his MAGA hat in his hand, looking down, dejected, and almost like he's going to cry. Now, is this the point in the presidency where it jumped the shark? I don't know. The only way we're going to really know about this is in November. But I definitely
think Let me just say something real quick on that, Sean Black, with that theory of him, because I've seen it. He looked tired. But this is what people want you to think, that it's bad for them. You're going to fall right into that trap, like, oh, this it's really bad. And guess what? He's going to rally from that. He's going to boost it even bigger. So keep thinking that he's down from this.
Okay.
He's going to skyrocket that next time, because we're doubting it right now.
Okay. Well, Lady T, here's my question to you, Lady T. Well, Joe Biden, when he chooses running mate, most likely, as we said before, people pick a black woman. With a black life movement going on right now, with all this craziness, do you still think choosing a black woman as his VP will hurt him or boost him up to win the election against Trump?
With all the comments that he's made as far as the black vote and this, that, I'm tired of this black vote, black vote, black vote. We know the black vote matters. That's why they're so thirsty for it. But what I don't like is it must be a black woman. Why can't just be a woman, period?
Exactly.
I understand the time that we're in. I would love to see it be a black woman, but what is that pressure? That pressure looks ugly. That pressure looks like it can hurt the campaign, if you ask me. Especially in the time that we're at now, they're going to say, you know what? Y'all want too much. Trump ticket, that'll be punched.
Well, I mean, if we're going to be honest about it, it was too much when Barack got elected. Let's be real. It was too much then. Even though his VP is, Mr. I have a problem with my hands and I don't understand personal space, which for the record,
Not a Richard Lawson, but okay,
let's
Family Feud is great because of that.
Come on. Listen, Joe, quote, Uncle Joe got a problem with his hands in her in personal space. But for the American public, Barack was too much. Even though he hit two terms, his first term, if people weren't paying attention, was when he was getting whooped politically. He was.
Yep.
Because everything he tried to do, he was getting smacked down by people like freaking that old crusty looking freaking woman.
McConnell.
What's his name? McConnell? Yeah. Everybody's creepy great. Yeah, everybody's creepy uncle from that one barbecue that nobody wants to admit ever happened. You know, he was.
Don't say my name.
Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? Like, he was dealing with that in the first term. By the time the second term came around, he was a wrap. Now, speaking on you know, Touchy Hands Joe here, who has selective amnesia, yeah, it's all well and fine that he wants a black woman as his running mate and everybody's toting fucking Kamala, but everybody has to realize that Kamala got some major skeletons in her.
She got a lot of dirt.
No. Notice my words. Major skeletons in her boneyard. I mean, damn, I got skeletons. But they at least got the demons in their dance. Hers is some serious stuff. Now, should it be a black woman? Who's to say? But like Lady T said, it should be a woman. Do I want a white woman? Nah. And I get iffy with that only because, and I'm going to tell you why. Because of Koblin, whatever the hell her name is, and freaking middle, I won't even try to pronounce
Amy Klobuchar is the one you're talking
about. Yeah, see, I'm not, listen, I don't want to get tongue-tied.
Amy Klobuchar moved her name. She took her name out of it.
Like I said, that broad right there, I don't want white broads like her running either. Because she's dirty just like Hillary. You feel me?
What makes it worse is Klobuchar tried to make it look like she was being magnanimous by saying, I'm going to pull my name out of consideration.
Yeah.
No, you didn't pull your name out of consideration. The sewage is clogged up. We know if somebody has to clean out the sewage. And the problem is the sewage was about to go out and flood the rest of her house. We know that when she was an attorney in Minnesota, she was the attorney that did not prosecute the person that killed George Floyd years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that if Biden picks this person as his running mate, he might as well dip his entire race into a vat of poison, because that's exactly what would happen. So
I'm just curious
why that happened.
Well, go ahead, Mika.
Did anyone watch the DNCs as they were going on? Did anyone besides myself?
No.
Yeah.
Honestly.
You have to look at their body language. Look at the body language that was going on that thing.
Forget the body language. Like
the words that were coming out, flip-flopping.
The words that were coming out of their mouths, the look in their eyes. Like, seriously, her and the little gay dude, and I have nothing against gay people, whoa, before we go there, I don't, and I'm not going to lie, I say some of my best friends are gay, because that's BS.
But why do we think it's going to be any of those candidates that they're pitching out there? Why do we think it's going to be any of those candidates? It'll be a big surprise, I think, who the VP might be.
What I'm saying is that him, her, the Asian dude, who I actually did like because he was at least making sense, you know, his whole platform was Andrew Yang, thank you. He was actually he was the only one that made sense. And they kept pooping on him. I kid you not. If you watch the replays of the DNC, they would ask him a question. He would answer it 100% honesty, and it would make sense financially, mentally, common sense, the whole shebang. And then they would go to and all of these people, and you listen to their response, and it's like, are you serious? I'm not impressed. I'm just not impressed.
All right, but
Anything over the toupee.
Okay, I have to go to Brother B right now. Brother B, the other night we were talking about Black Lives Matter. What a surprise. But it seems like you have a problem with something they read on Black Lives Matter's website. What is that, and why do you have a problem with it?
Well, I know this is probably going to,
Well, I know it's probably going to piss people off, but I really don't care. It's supposed to be freedom of opinion and expression, right? So,
right.
You know, I've always had an issue somewhat with the founders of Black Lives Matter. Not so much the message, but the founders. It's something, I don't know, that was irking me. So I saw this little video pertaining to somebody that was, it was another black woman that was actually talking about how she made previous videos about, you know, the whole thing, you know, dismantling Black Lives Matter, you know, actually exposing. And she was reading some things off the website, which I've never went to the website until after I watched the video. And I was kind of just had some concerns with the usage of certain words and what they were saying, like the dismantling of the cisgender hierarchy. First of all, I didn't even know that straight people had a name besides, you know, heterosexual, another name besides heterosexual. We're called, you know, cisgender, people that equate their sexuality with, you know, how they were born. And I say that to say, what the hell does that have to do with Black Lives Matter? What the hell does, you know, the empowerment of transgender and gay and lesbian, you know, black people and all this, and that, what the hell does that have to do with Black Lives Matter? The wording in there was kind of speaking, it seemed like they're trying to create another avenue, like another race, other than, you know, to be protected, other than, you know, regular black folks. And once again, I do not have an issue with anyone that lives any type of lifestyle because, hey, it's none of my goddamn business. But why is it a part of their what we're about, you know, statement? Why is it so heavy with the, you know, we have to dismantle this hierarchy, we have to, you know, be pro this and pro that when it comes down to gay and lesbian rights and all this and that? It's the fact that every time something happens for black people or a movement happens for black people, other people who have their other agendas put it on our vote or put it in our car, and the police brutality becomes the gas. Anything that happens to people becomes the gasoline for the movement.
So, Lady C, you have something you'd like to say about that?
Well, I would like to say that one of the members...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Mika.
I just want to make this really, really fast. One of the members of the Black, one of the original members of the Black Lives Movement is a lesbian. So
no, actually,
I understand.
It's actually both two of them are.
Well, okay. Well, having said that, I understand where they're coming from that perspective. That's
so what
all
does
I
that
have to
what
say.
Does
all right,
have
I'm
going to
tell you guys
because
what I have to do. What it has to do. If anybody has ever watched a documentary, this happened to them again in 2016, the same thing that Brother B is talking about. They have been trying to, I remember one of the members, I forgot what her name is, the original member that started it when she was in Seattle. Okay. She spoke on it that she considered herself queer. She said when she started this movement, it had nothing to do with gay. People started turning it into the LGBTQ, if I'm saying it correctly, community. They did that to get the distraction, she said, off of that. She said she never came there talking about I'm queer, I'm this, I'm that. She was busy in Seattle doing, what was it, like theater for people who have been released from prison for them to express, be able to express themselves. So every time that they want to shut down Black Lives Matter, they associate it with being gay because the two members are being gay. I could see that from someone that I know that also does this same line of activism work that is gay. And that's all people tend to see when you're an activist, but you're fighting for your black rights. That's what they see first. And that's something that she always explained, how they try to tear them down and say that they have some sort of hidden agenda for their LGBTQ community and so forth.
Okay,
so,
I get that. I get that. If I may interject, I get that. But I wouldn't know you're gay if you said it. Like, once again, people's sexuality, what does that have to do with Black
That's,
Lives
she
Matter.
She never said
That's
it.
What I'm
she never
to
said it. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
But
she never said
it.
The people came out and exposed her on that because they wanted to take the agenda off of the Black Lives Matter, what she was doing, when they seen it was working and it was getting everyone's attention even before Kaepernick took his knee. That's the point that I'm making. Mm-hmm. So you have 40 chapters and two in Canada, and the one in Canada, I don't know who's in control of their website, but whomever is in control of their website is definitely trying to get the agenda off of this, and it's really, really disgusting. It's not the first time this happened. This has been happening since they started it.
All right, so K-Dog, you got anything you'd like to add on to that?
K-Dog, you still there?
Okay, Sean?
Hello? Hello? Yeah, I'm here. I'm like, oh, damn, y'all talking for a second. Now I'm talking. Like I was saying, you definitely got to watch out about who's involved in Black Lives Matter, because when it comes to that, you know, they talk about the movement, but you also got to look at it because, you know what, they might change it into something else.
What?
You know?
Jackson, I'm on the phone. Come on, like.
Sorry, my dad, I need to stretch.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you need to stretch.
They'll change into something else.
I mean, the only thing I'm saying is just look at the website. Just read when it comes to that portion where it said what we're about. Like, read that. And like I said, some of the language concerns me. Like I said, I'm not against them.
I was never for
the founders. I'm with the message. But like I said, some of the language concerns me.
Okay, Sean Black?
Well, I think also the other thing that we have to take into consideration, and this is something that happens in all movements that involve African-Americans or Latinos or any disparaged minority in this country, is that the narrative when white America, who usually has been historically against uprisings of the people that have been oppressed, when a movement starts to gain momentum, it's that narrative that gets changed to fit the narrative that they want. Like we've talked about before with the whole Colin Kaepernick thing, it was made about the flag and it was made about being disrespecting the troops, when that whole entire thing had nothing to do with it. Why? Because they told you what it was about. And even more so, we know that going in, that a lot of people that looked at the situation, those that did not know what the movement was about, believed the changed narrative over what the actual protest was over. So when a movement starts, even if the creator of a movement tells you why the movement is there, there's usually going to be blowback from the opposing, the opposition that then tries to fit their own narrative in to disparage or destroy what that initial movement was there for. So that's something that Black Lives Matter as a movement has had to deal with since its inception. And I think when we look at the whole entirety of the argument, what everybody's talking about, this, although it does not have anything to do with sexuality for a number of people within the Black Lives Matter movement has its own voice within it. Like every movement has sub-movements within it. And I think that that's where the disparity is, where a lot of people are actually talking about, well, this is there, this particular issue is different than that. And this is where a lot of the movement and the argument for what the movement is about ends up getting lost. And to Lady T's point is that a lot of it wasn't about what we were talking about. It has nothing to do with sexuality, even though the two people that created the movement are both gay. That was not made front and center to be brought about as the main argument within that movement. And that's what I think is being lost in the discussion, probably.
Well, that's
okay. So to me,
I don't think
it's being lost. I don't think it's being lost. But listen, I'm all with it. My thing is, why? All right, if you don't want these type of discussions, why put it on the website? Why throw that little bit in there? Because my whole thing is this: I don't see anything different between someone who's black and gay in their life and black and then straight. There's no difference between the lives. But I don't see why there was a need to put that up there. Like I said, it's not an argument. It's just, like I said, I have a slight concern with the wording. When you talk about dismantling a hierarchy, wait a minute, you're talking about Black Lives Matter, not dismantling a hierarchy of cisgender individuals. You know, I don't. That's not what I came to the website for, and that's what I'm not supporting you for.
I would love to know who put that up there. When was that speech proper wording up there? You get what I'm saying? Did that happen? No. I'm talking about when did it happen? Did it happen around now? Like when we're now back to talking about Black Lives? You get my point that I'm making?
Oh,
that's real interesting.
Was it put on while all this is now being brought to the forefront? Or was it on there prior to when the movement was still going on?
I'm
going to
tell you like this. I was shouting. I was like, I was on the board with Black Lives Matter before I even went to the website. But then something said, yo, I feel a little funny about this. And it wasn't until this woman made the video and started reading this stuff, I didn't go to the website because I was just like, I don't care. I'm just all for the cause. But I actually went to the website and read it. Yeah.
But I understand where Lady T is coming from, and she has a valid question. But now, going to where that is, you know, that was where you had posted something about Black Lives Matter earlier, and, you know, my response was, well, there are different factions within this movement.
We're all
well, first of all, we're not saying that we're all black. That's not what we're saying. But as I pointed out to you earlier, there were factions within this. Okay,
Why are we so divided? It's a house divided. Why are we so divided?
But this is the thing. Now, my question to you is this: after even reading what you posted, my question becomes, and I've seen George Soros and all of these people, whatever. My question becomes, who really sat there and said, much like Lady T said, who sat there and said that what you're posting there, not you specifically, but what's being posted, I should say, it's actual fact. You know what I'm saying?
It could be the lawyer. It could be white people.
How do we know this is coming directly from the movement? How do we know that it's not just like with the Black Cancer Party?
Go to the Black Lives Matter website. Read it for yourself.
But do you understand
what I'm saying?
All right.
I sent Hart something that I wasn't going to post. No. All right, let me go to another topic now. Mika, you saw my video last night. I was crying over Uncle Ben, Dr. Mama, Miss Bobby Ward. All these people are running the streets right now.
Yeah.
Now, when we talk about this Black Lives movement going on, is even Eskimo Pie has changed his name, the ice cream bar. How do you feel about all these name changes right now? Is this the right thing to do, or is it a marketing plan?
Listen, honestly, if they gave a shit, they'd have changed it centuries, decades ago. They don't give a crap. They're all jumping. They're jumping on a bandwagon. Firstly, I don't care. I really don't, because it's not. First of all, I make my own pancakes. So I don't care who's on the box. I really don't. I'm sorry. Listen, cream of wheat is cream of wheat. I don't care who's on the box. I'm not going to change doing what I'm doing. It's still cream of wheat. Whether it's the little white boy on the Farina box, cream of wheat is cream of wheat. Oh, we forgot about the little white boy on the Farina box.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we didn't.
Because
it's all the same.
Lady T?
I'm just thinking, was it the picture that sold it, or was it that it tastes good that it sold? Because it tastes good. I love Aunt Jemima. I never even look at the picture.
I thought it was
You know what I mean?
Good.
So they need to just have no picture and just put Aunt Jemima on it, call it a day, or whatever.
Okay.
Same thing with
Uncle
Ben.
I love Uncle Ben rice. Uncle Ben is one of the best rice.
Not really, because now I can see Ben Carson's face.
Oh my goodness. Because of the Black Lives Movement, all this propaganda, are we really jumping a gun out here? Because everybody's scared, and they're like, oh, my gosh. And even if they have to take down the statues.
Since when the hell has America been so damn racially sensitive? Now, all of a sudden, they want to make these changes? Come on.
Because they know we got the buying power.
Our voices are being heard now.
He's been speaking for hundreds of years, and they still didn't hear him. That's the sad part about it.
So you think that it's really this is really a change, little things here and there, or is it to put the muzzle on us for a while, pretty much? Because the statues, let me explain something. One thing about the statues, I was watching something, they was talking about a Theodore Roosevelt statue, and it had, I guess, an Indian and a slave. And I'm thinking, is this not part of history, too? I don't think it should be taken down.
Yeah.
I remember them wanting 2 years ago in Massachusetts for it to be taken down. It is part of the history. They had a black gentleman, I'm trying to remember what his name was, who actually, instead of taking it down because he wanted something removed, he created a black statue of his own that was based on that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we always want to play we can rewrite the past. We do this in our own lives daily, like, oh, I failed on this, I failed on that.
Mm-hmm.
Shut the F up, take it as an L, and move on.
Ouch.
Exactly.
Ouch.
That's what you do.
Listen,
it's a loss. Guess what? The memories is going to be there of it. You think just by you taking the statues down, you're going to forget that? The pain is still deep.
Well,
go
ahead, Sean, real quickly.
I think what is happening, and we've talked about this before, is that we know, as I've heard Bob say all the time, $1.2 trillion of African American expendable wealth in this country every year. And companies are now forced, now because of, as I've told you before, about the white shame of slavery and all of the things that have happened. And I think now, because the momentum has gotten to a point where it's much more aware now than at any other time in the past, that racism has been so embedded in deep, if you don't get proactive and change labeling, Aunt Jemima over 130 years, Eskimo Pies 90 some odd years, Uncle Ben's and all of these other brands that are starting to slowly change, and NASCAR has Bubba Watson is the only African American driver having a Black Lives Matter car through the entire thing. If you don't change your history, you're going to be canceled. This is the whole cancel culture era that we live in now. And if a lot of these billion-dollar corporations don't change in the eyes of what America is doing, you're going to be left behind. And that's the last thing anybody wants to do, is be left behind when you know you've got a pile of money that you can make off the African-American community and the Latino community. That's why.
You know who's going to be left behind? I think we're going to be left behind. We're not going to remember. We're not going to have those things for us to fight even harder and push even harder. You understand what I'm saying? They want us to forget. They want us not to fight.
Exactly.
That's how I see it. We're going to be the ones canceled. We're going to, we're going to look like? We're going to look like the kid that hugged the white lady. That's how we're going to look.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to forget about all this. Thank you.
So everything that's going on, ladies and gentlemen, with Juneteenth that just passed, should be a federal holiday. Start with Lady T first. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah,
Hello,
Lady T. Oh, I didn't hear you guys. What did you say?
No, Juneteenth. Juneteenth should be a federal holiday with everything that's going on right now.
Juneteenth's been going on for the longest. It's only been in the public's eye and to people who didn't know about this for the longest. I learned about Juneteenth in African history in college so many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What was that, like 17 years ago or something? It's like this has been going on already. So, yes, I think if that's what they want to do, why not? It's been being celebrated. Nothing new. Funded by Brother B, yes.
Nah, I'm not with
you. Go ahead, Brother B.
I'm not with the Trumpies because, you know what? If we don't fight the fight for our future, then it probably won't get fought. And giving us a little holiday is not giving us reform for our children to be able to feel like, you know, they can go outside and put
Brother B, you know it's been a holiday in certain states before that, certain southern states. This is not the first time. They want to make it for all the states now.
Nah, and it's all good. But like I said, that's not what, you know, to those who accept it, God bless you, you know, enjoy. But me, I need more. Because like I said, we got kids out here, man. And if we don't fight the fight, some of them ain't strong enough to carry that weight. Because somebody got to pull. And I want more than just a holiday.
Well, I got to tell you this, being here in Jersey, up in Englewood, we generally have a Juneteenth celebration. I know because my cousin has me vend, or at least tries to get me to vend every year. And it's actually a really, this is nothing new, especially, and you know, people don't know, Englewood, New Jersey is not, it's a mixture, but it's predominantly black professionals, black retirees, and it's really a great festival, and Juneteenth has been a celebration here for the longest. I go, have a great time. You actually meet a lot of nice people. So, I mean, if the rest of the country wants to do it, more power to them. We've just been doing it here for a minute. We actually, in Englewood, there's actually a committee that does this. There are a few committees here in this particular section of New Jersey, by the way, that handle a lot of African-American affairs.
All right, K-Dog.
Hey, if they want to do it that way, let them do it. Because, listen, like I heard everybody in the panel say the same thing. It's been around for so long. Okay, you want to make it a holiday, make it a holiday. But you know what? Don't make it a holiday just for, you know, for people to show face. Make it a holiday. Make it a holiday to explain the history of why it is celebrated. Don't just, you know,
make a holiday to have a day off from school or work.
Certain states already have that. Certain states all these years already had that. They want to make now all the states have it.
Yeah, they want to make this a national holiday, which is, as far as I'm concerned, it needed to have been done a long time ago. And the reason why is just basically what Lady T said, as far as certain places know about it, have known about it. In my neighborhood for at least the last maybe 15 years, people have put stickers around areas of the place and on phone poles and on people's gates and things like that to try to get that mindset so people will know what it is. It needs to be a national holiday because then, as we said before, you teach it in a school, then you're forced to confront it. That's part of what is happening in school. They teach you about Europe. They teach you about George Washington. They teach you about so many different things. But a lot of African-American culture, Latino-American culture, those kinds of history lessons aren't taught anywhere near as much. And for a lot of people that talk about it, they don't learn about it until they get to college, if they do at all.
College, yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why this is important. It's very important.
Okay.
Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday wasn't fully a national holiday. Arizona was the last state to make it a national holiday.
But a lot of companies still don't respect it.
That's true. Okay, last but not least, I have to give it to him. He is a white guy. We need a white person in this panel. Phil, the Fish Man Fisher, take it away. You got 4 minutes.
Lord Jesus.
I got 4 minutes.
Good,
only
man.
4 minutes. What's
up,
Phil?
What are you doing, Phil?
You know, I'm good. I'm good. Can't complain. You know, I've been listening to the show for the last couple of weeks, and everything that is going on, I feel like our country is a laughing stock, and that other countries are laughing at us with seeing with what we're doing, and they're seeing what's going on, and they're just laughing at us. I mean, I'm all for change. You know, I'll go on the record right now. What happened to George Floyd was wrong. He was murdered. But what I don't like is the rioting and the looting that has gone on. And with all this protesting going on, I'm all for protesting, don't get me wrong, but peacefully. But that doesn't give these animals a right to go toppling statues or vandalizing property and monuments and stuff. That doesn't give people the right. And Hot Rod, if they wanted to protest something, You saw what I posted on Facebook the other day. Why ain't Black Lives Matter protesting that?
Toppling of racist statues? Well, Phil, not for nothing, let's be real for a moment. A majority of the looters and the rioters are not African American. Let's be real. If you're gonna speak on it, speak honestly. You know, and that's what a lot of white America has to understand. A majority of the protesters and the rioters are not African American. A lot of them happen to be white. A lot of them happen to be from racist organizations that are using the Black Lives Matter movement and these protests to forward their own agenda. Let's be honest. If you're going to talk about it, Phil, talk about it 100%. Don't just say these animals. Let's be honest.
Well,
it's
everybody. It is everybody. I mean, you are right.
You never say a race. You never say a race. You just say animals in general. You never say a race.
But they're using that burning down and looting so that we can stop protesting. It's been used to silence for so many years. That group that comes in and does that, do you really think they're for the cause? Do you really think they want to? They're there for destruction to show,
this is how these Negroes act.
They're not for the cause.
How many videos have you seen where they have actually been stopped by Black Matters Lives protesters saying, you can't leave that here. If you're going to do that, you need to take that somewhere else. I've seen a video where a sister actually went up to the car and told them, take that shit up out of here. So don't sit there and say they're animals when you can't honestly say who the real agitators and provocateurs of these situations are. Please, let's be honest.
There's a beat.
Let's be real.
There's a beat.
Hold on.
Anything like that on?
And it's also not to say that you do have a few knuckleheads.
All I got to say is everybody
but
have a
good night. The majority of them aren't African American or Latino or brown. Let's be real. When we speak about this, let's be honest.
And a lot of this is going to be a lot of this has to be the education that a lot of people don't either know about or understand about the history of, like what Phil was talking about as far as the statues go. A good chunk of those statues are statues that are monuments to people that either owned slaves, were in cahoots with people that owned slaves, or did horrific things to a lot of African Americans in this country. And that has not been explained enough for people to understand why so many people are actually toppling these. As a matter of fact, there was one out there in Lafayette Park in Washington, D.C., near the White House. There are protesters that are trying to topple that statue right now. The Secret Service is trying to keep the protesters from toppling that over. Once people know about what those statues represent, the mindset into why they're getting rid of these statues will be understood.
Yes. Thank you. I mean, it's not for frivolousness. You have to understand, there's a reason behind this.
And there was a reason behind slavery, and we're still slaves. So what's the difference? That's my point. It's part of the history. You take those statues down, I see people not fighting for their rights anymore. You're going to get too comfortable. I'm just saying. But
you still have to fight.
That's just my point.
The fight should never stop.
I can understand where you're coming from, Lady T, but I don't think that even with that being done, I don't think that's going to end there. I think this is like the start. If they continue with more momentum going forward, then we can have more a better filled out discussion over the situation. I think that's what's happening right now.
Okay.
But
Bobby, are you doing the show tomorrow night?
Are we going to talk about hosting black TV shows tomorrow night?
No. Well, that's Brother B. That's you and Brother B problem, not my problem.
Brother B?
Lady T, he went back. He went to work. He's gone. But Sean Black, happy birthday once again. Many more. Please stop by my house tomorrow night.
Happy birthday, Sean.
Happy birthday,
Sean.
Thank you.
Strip club! Woohoo! Oh, sorry.
Happy birthday, Sean.
Thank you.
Happy birthday,
I have a big candle for you to blow out tomorrow night. So, Sean,
I'm sure you
night.
Do.
I'm sure you will be pulling stuff out tomorrow night.
Oh, hello. Thank you for Have a good night. Thank you all. And God bless and stay safe and wash your hands.
That's right.
Peace and love.
Peace
and love, baby. Ladies.
Take
care.
Peace.
Peace.